those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
To you in part by hopcharger.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is my faithful
and I'm warm.
And very, very warm and fuzzy.
Wearing all black was a bad choice.
Bad call on your part.
I'm in my goth hippie garb. Well, it's all black clothes but flip flops. So
I don't know. The Jesus is effing metal t-shirt doesn't really get you off as the goth thing.
Well,
it means you have a good sense of humor.
Hey, so many goths I know have a great sense of humor.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
Evan's here, as
I'm
usual.
Here.
He trolled along.
Always here.
He's always here. There's no escape. We are broadcasting from Cafe Enya.
Yes. Not to be confused with the singer.
Yeah, it's true.
She's nowhere to be seen here.
No. Although, I wouldn't mind a little Enya in the background.
Eh, never been a big fan.
Very soothing, very calming.
She's good for soundtracks.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's
big,
it.
Big swooping epic.
Yeah.
Type, you know.
And not terrible to look at.
No.
I will say.
No, I haven't seen a picture in probably 15 years, but yeah.
That's...
About the last time she was relevant as well.
Well, no, she did the Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
That's right.
So,
well played, nerdiness. Well played.
Yeah.
So, it's in South Minneapolis.
Yep.
It is sister restaurant to...
El Maison.
Thank you very much, El Maison. Which is also in South Minneapolis, just a couple blocks from here.
Yep.
Similar type of cuisine. This one is a little bit more fusion-oriented rather
yes.
than straight.
Yeah, El Maison's a little more traditional
straight,
South American.
Yeah, and Spain.
And Spain.
Yeah, you know, this is more fusion you're going to see. You're going to see a lot more Italian influence to the menu.
Yeah, they actually have a yellow corn crusted calamari.
Yeah.
Which, had we not been here for restaurant week, I probably would be jumping on.
I'm surprised you didn't order the guacamole in addition. Did you see the guacamole?
I did not, but thank you for bringing that up now.
You're ruining your day. You're making it even worse. Sorry. As Evan mentioned, it is restaurant week.
It is.
Summer restaurant week.
That's right, because they do two a year.
Yeah. And last year's summer, thank you very much. Beautiful. Last year's restaurant week, summer, we did...
We did masa.
Masa. Keeping it with the...
It's the Latin thing. Something... Latin cuisine needs to be eaten outdoors.
I agree.
And that tends to be what we do. Although,
that
last year...
It was blazing.
We were planning on doing it outside, and then it was about 140 degrees out.
Which is what it's been all week, so we got the lull in the storm right now. I mean,
I know, I'm pretty excited. I grilled last night. That was pretty awesome. I was excited.
Nice out.
Did steak.
Nice.
Steak and onions. Almost got steak. Kinda
the steak is
covered.
Tricky and it takes a lot of practice. Steak
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Once it's there, it's like, I have you now.
See, luckily, I think I'm almost predestined to be good at the steak I like. Because I like a good medium rare with a good solid char on it.
Yeah.
Which when I cook it, that's the only way it comes out.
Yeah.
Is
it's just solid char.
Just a good char, but pink in the middle. I'm having issues regulating my heat, which is hard to do on charcoal grill.
I applaud your effort on
yeah.
the charcoal grill for steak.
Yeah.
Charcoal is much more of the, from what I'm learning, is the hot dog, brat.
It's
know.
When you just don't care.
Yeah. Either way, the meat's already sort of done. You know, it's halfway cooked.
Yeah.
It's not the meat you start raw.
No. Although I have done tuna.
Okay.
I have done tuna on steak and on charcoal. But again, tuna works well for that char, but still pink in the middle. Like, you don't necessarily want it completely cooked all the way through. At least I don't.
Yeah.
but chicken, I'm still figuring out.
That's a difficult road to hoe.
Although I've done a piccata, so like a smashed chicken, and that works really well because it's super thin.
Right.
So
I'm doing the. So I'm trying to drop a couple pounds before your wedding. I'm down 5.
Nice.
Kind of proud about that. Working out a couple times the past week. And
excellent.
Gotten back to the lean chicken and vegetable diet, which I will blow out of the water with this meal.
Not too bad.
Pretty bad.
No.
Pretty bad.
Well, yeah. The pie isn't helping.
Yeah. Well, pie always helps. It's a fruit pie. It's a fruit pie.
It is a fruit pie.
I don't know what they want to do. But yeah, I'm down to that straight chicken diet right now. So I'm trying to find new ways to do it. I'm a big fan of the cacciatore.
Cacciatore is nice.
Yeah, you just brown the skin and then stew it up. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of garbage. And by that I don't mean like bad. I mean like I've got 4 scallops and a half a dozen linguine noodles. It's like, okay, what do I do with this?
Yep.
So I had like the ultimate garbage. It was cavatappi and linguine because I didn't have enough to make it one or the other.
I've done it.
So
I've done it.
And cavatappi and linguine, it's hard to find two more different.
It's harder to get them all on the fork. At that point, it's a fork challenge at that.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta decide, am I doing a cavatappi bite or am I doing a linguine bite?
She's right in the corner.
And then I threw some scallops and some chicken in there.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was ground turkey. It was scallops and ground turkey. Because again, it was cleaning out the fridge.
You're really losing me at this point.
And it has sun-dried tomato Alfredo sauce.
Yeah.
Pop that on there. Some, a little bit of minced garlic. Some diced onions. It was awesome.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting.
That is pretty much garbage, though. So I'm sure it tasted great. But
it was awesome.
Yeah. I did, actually did steak about a week ago, and found this sauce called Monkey Gland.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's not a bottle. It's make the sauce fresh.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it doubles as a Sloppy Joe sauce, too.
So what's all in it?
Yeah, Worcestershire sauce, ketchup, onion, a shit ton of garlic, honey, sesame oil, cider vinegar.
So it's almost like an Asian barbecue sauce.
It's very tangy. Just a ton of
the onion. Sesame oil is the oddball, I think, in that.
It's not a much. It's only about 2%.
I know, but
it does give a certain overt nuttiness to it. So.
Yeah.
But very, very good. That on top of a steak.
What's it called again?
Monkey gland sauce.
Monkey gland. That is like the least appetizing name.
It really is. And actually, the blog that I took it off of, he literally said, yes, it's a very unappetizing name, but bear with me here. This is awesome.
You know, if you think about it, the fact that you've got a very tasty thing.
That's who came back to you.
That is named after monkey.
Yeah.
Which sounds inappetizing, makes sense to me. Because previous to my tenure as a non-single person, I'd never heard of the wonders of monkey bread.
Monkey bread's dangerous.
Monkey bread is awesome.
Monkey bread is awesome, but it is dangerous because you can eat a whole pan by yourself.
Yeah.
Without even blinking.
Oh, yeah. And
it's like a pan of Krispy Kreme donut.
It is. It's pretty outstanding. But again, monkey bread, that does not sound appetizing.
No.
Unless you know what it is.
Exactly.
So maybe there's something to this general monkey naming convention.
God damn you, monkey bread.
What?
God damn monkey bread. I can literally eat a pan of that by myself. Without even blinking.
I don't know. So we've gotten off track here.
Right.
Restaurant week again. It's something going on. It happens twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's brought to us by MSP Mag, Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine.
Yep.
And the idea behind it is to basically just get people out trying places.
Right. It makes everything a bit more accessible.
A little bit. They give you a fixed menu. normally between two and four choices for each of, a lot of places will do lunch and dinner.
There are some places that are only doing one choice too, which is...
Well, yeah, I was going to talk about that.
That frustrates me.
Let me finish the... Sorry. Let me finish my explanation.
All right.
So it's a fixed menu, you get a couple choices. With Cafe Anya, and this is fairly typical, you get a choice of... It's a three-course dinner, and you get a choice of two for each course.
Right.
And we pretty much got everything. The only thing we didn't get on here was the churros with chocolate ganache, which I think one of us should have taken the bullet on.
I'm not willing to... I don't think either one of us is willing to give up the other offering.
Yeah, that's
true.
There's
been many a time where that offering has been given up. There's been hate.
There's few automatic foods, but that is one of them.
That would have made me kind of stabby.
It would have. Some places are a little more choice heavy.
Like Meritage has a ton.
Meritage has a ton of choices.
Four appetizer choices, four entree choices, and three desserts.
Yep. There's a place called Jimmy's Food and Cocktails out of Minnetonka. That was anything.
Pretty much.
It was like
I almost think that there was a typo in there, because their prices just alone. Did you look at their menu?
No, I didn't look at their menu.
Their prices alone easily outweighed what the prefix cost was going to be. Easily. I don't know how that works. And then they were upcharging like $3 for specific cuts.
Specific ones, yeah. But it's their first year, I think. I think it was their first year as part of the listing. But then there was a couple places you had one choice.
Right. Do you remember any of them off the top of your
head? Wasn't seven. Scoozy.
Yeah.
Which was actually suggested to us by a listener.
Right. Which we'll make it to.
Which we will definitely make it to. But one choice. Which, like, if you want to get people out to the restaurants...
Right. Offer a plethora.
I mean, think about this. People go to restaurants in groups.
Right.
In twos, threes, fours, you know, large groups. If your only option is one thing, no matter how good that thing is...
Only one person's going to get it.
Only one... No, well, or you just get the whole damn party get the same thing.
Right.
And then that kind of ruins some of the restaurant experience. You like having multiple things so you can try each other.
Right.
You can try different things.
Especially in the date environment.
Exactly. Like, that's just dumb. And Scoozy should know better. There's a couple places, and they seem to all be like high-end places where they'd only do the one choice.
Right.
Like, Meritage was kind of the oddball in that case.
Porter and Fry was doing the same thing. Not the one choice, but had multiple choices.
Yeah,
again, high-end restaurant.
Yeah.
But offering multiple things.
Yeah, I do not understand that at all.
We weren't dressed appropriate to go to Porter and Fry.
No, we weren't.
Because
goddamn it, I'm not going
to
put pants on.
Right, and that might be more of a winter. That's a steak and supper club type of deal.
Which is tasty. Yeah. I've had this weird craving for mashed potatoes. Which is like, it's the worst weather in the world for that right now.
It really is. That doesn't make no sense.
But I don't know why. When we went out to... where did we go? We went out to Loring Pasta Bar.
Okay.
Last week. I went on my first couple's date. It was very...
You found a couple.
It's... The progression into married life is continuing apace. But this couple had never been to Loring Pasta Bar. So it's like, fuck, we gotta go. And they loved it. And the woman of said couple is pregnant, so we got good seating. So super excited about that. But this plate of mashed potatoes like went by, and I almost tackled the guy.
You're even coupling with pregnancy? Wow, you like jumped ahead like three or four steps, and I think
I know.
You're supposed to go.
I know.
I actually think you cheated a little.
It's not my fault. They're Heather's friends.
And they're your friends now.
I like them. They're nice people.
They're your friends now.
You know, that's good. I mean, it's good that they're nice people.
Yeah.
I would hang out with them. Just without her.
Okay.
So. But. Yeah, I just had this weird craving of mashed potatoes. And this is actually something I want to talk about.
Okay.
We've been doing the Weight Watchers and all that stuff. I think I'm down 20 pounds at this.
You're very svelte.
Thank you.
Your shirts are fitting better.
Well.
They are.
Thank you. Regardless. So, but we've been doing this plan the meals up.
Right.
Like, you know, like the week ahead of time, you plan everything out.
You almost have to.
Which is not how I operate.
Okay, so you're going to do the ceviche, right?
I am.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
That was not what I was expecting.
This isn't what I was expecting either.
Well, yours at least makes sense.
It does. It's just a little, it's a little weird.
Well, so the first courses have arrived.
Right.
You got a ceviche of red snapper with sweet corn and essence of tangerine. That's how you know it's a fancy place, when they sell essences.
Mm-hmm.
Which, see, looking at what you have,
right,
I can see those component pieces.
Right.
I can see the snapper. I can see the essence. I can see the ceviche part with the corn and the tomatoes and the mm-hmm. cilantro. I do not see what I have.
What did you get?
I got the vine-ripe yellow and red tomato salad.
Right.
With seared panela cheese, microgreens, and a cilantro jalapeno infused oils.
So you got your cheese there?
Yes. This is not a salad.
No, it's not really a salad.
Okay. And this might be just a naming convention fascism of mine, but no, this is like a filled pasta, except that instead of grain they use cheese, which is the concept I enjoy.
It's a tomato salad. Much like a braising.
Oh my god. It's fantastic. I mean, it's amazing. But it's kind of an open-faced tomato sandwich. Is what it is. It's not a salad.
Sandwich invokes bread.
Maybe. I don't know. I just... All I'm saying is this is no salad. This is a pile of food. It's a pile of very tasty food. But it is not a salad. Now, as I was saying, so we've been planning out the meals and all that stuff, and I'm naming stuff off as I'm looking through listings and various cookbooks, and there are all of these things that it was deemed it was too hot out to have.
Right.
Things like roast vegetables and
I think cold weather.
You know, heavy stuff. And it was deemed too warm, you know, too humid to be having heavy food. Which, and I may have talked about this on the show before. That is a concept that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Is it really?
Like, I'm all for seasonal foods, like, you know, especially if you're dealing with produce, there are certain times of year where the strawberries are better than other times, or the squashes are better, you know, whatever. I get that. That makes sense to me. But especially, like, here is what I wanted to say. After like the fourth thing I suggested was shot down because it was too hot. We have air conditioning for a reason. We're not gonna eat mashed potatoes on the porch.
You weren't stupid and said that, did you?
I did not say that, no. You know, we're not gonna have the stew like I wanted a pot pie.
I gotta disagree with you on that. That's cold weather food.
No, because we have air conditioning. We are humans, we are modern Americans, we have control of our environment, we can make it however freaking cold we want.
But do you want something that heavy?
Yes. Yes,
why?
I do.
Why?
Because pot pies are delicious, no matter what time of year it is. I don't know why I did the J-Lo kind of finger there, but...
You're just Evan from the block.
I'm Evan from... No, I don't care. The temperature.
E pity.
The temperature outside, especially if I'm eating it indoors. Like I can see, I don't want a pot pie while sitting out on the front lawn.
Right.
When it's 95 degrees up. I get that. Which is why I go inside. Where is climate control? And 68 degrees.
There's no sin greater, no sin more divine than that of central air.
Exactly.
More exquisite, excuse me, not divine. Exquisite.
Whatever. Why would you disagree with...
There's a heavy... There's things that I just don't want in the summertime.
No! But see,
like gravy.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing you and other people are not getting.
Like my gravy season starts... My gravy and
gravy season.
Gravy season starts in, like, October. Starts after the state fair.
No, see...
That's the official start. Labor Day is the official start of the gravy season.
Which is weird. Which actually makes sense, considering you're not allowed to wear white after Labor Day.
See?
Which is gravy season.
Thank you.
Okay. But again...
It's not that crazy.
We control our environments.
Yeah.
You know, if I want it to be 40 degrees in the house, I can do that.
Yeah.
I won't.
Right.
Oh my god.
But I could. Okay.
Well, when you're running the oven for 3.5 hours because you're pot pie, you kind of almost
I'm
have to
I'm not standing
run
over the oven, though. I'm in the other room. Again, we have ovens so that we don't have to manually heat it with a stick and flame.
Thank you, Gron.
There's modern conveniences here.
I agree, Lothar.
Why do we have air conditioning if not to force nature into a specific paradigm?
Nature, know your role.
Exactly.
Of course it's a yes.
You know, if I want goddamn, you know, beef stew,
right?
In July.
I'm not saying I don't do it. I'm not saying I don't do it because I live off a hot dish. You know, it's when it's one guy, it's simple to make, and I could eat for weeks.
Yeah.
With one hot dish. Literally, I could make it Sunday night and I could eat through Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm not disagreeing with that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's more a practicality thing. However, if I had my druthers, I'd be making something that's a bit lighter. It's just...
I'm not going out to do yard work, though. I'm not going
neither
outside.
Neither am I. But I just don't want... I don't want the heaviness. I like something that's a bit more seasonal. I realize how gay that sounds. But
well, no. I just think I am I am mentally and physically prepared for life on a space station.
I agree. I know you are. And I kind of hope that they draw your name first.
Well, it's
fingers
like,
crossed. Here we go.
It's just like...
Beam them up, Scotty.
To me, it just seems so silly. And, you know, it goes the opposite route. You know, if I want ceviche in December...
Right.
That should be okay, too.
Well, I agree with that. I think it's more... The summer food... more acceptable in the wintertime than the winter foods are acceptable.
But why?
I don't know.
Here's another good
it's
example.
Equal rights thing.
Here's another good example.
But you're the Martin Luther King of food civil rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're more Malcolm X.
From November, I'm the Malcolm X of food. I like that. From November to March.
Right.
I cannot have ice
season.
Cream. I cannot have ice cream in the house.
Right.
Because it is too cold.
Okay.
Screw that.
But
screw that right in the ear. Okay.
But how often do you buy it in that time frame?
I would buy it every week. Again.
Are you saying that to spite me?
No. I have a house to protect me from the elements and to protect myself from the...
Solitude.
Exactly. I bought a house so that I am not bound by the rules of nature. And if the rules of nature...
You become an air conditioning snob.
If the rules of nature have decreed...
I don't know if these rules apply if this is a year ago.
No. If the rules of nature decree that it is not ice cream weather, I blaze my own trail. I go where nature has no sway, and that is indoors.
I disagree with this. I think this is Evan... This is Evan post central air.
No, I felt the same way for years.
This is Evan ACA, after central air.
No, you can even ask Heather. This is an argument we had years ago. Okay.
Do you at least agree with my gravy season theory?
No!
Really?
Gravy is perennial.
Gravy is annual.
Mr. Chef Perks, I know it's not on the restaurant list. Bring gravy boat. I want gravy. I want gravy.
Oh, okay. For instance, I went out to eat with my mom last week. We went to
Hot Date.
It was. We went to the Prairie Ale House, which we're actually going to make it to one of these days
at some point.
And she had one of the offerings you can get as your side dish is poutine.
Yeah.
It was hotter than Hades out. The last thing I wanted was poutine. Mostly because I don't care for it.
Here's the question. You were eating this indoors, correct?
Right.
What temperature was it indoors?
72, maybe 70.
Is 72, if it was 72 outside, would that be too warm for poutine? Presuming you liked it.
I think so, yeah.
Presuming you liked
this.
Well, you're just stupid, then.
It's got to be like sub-60 weather for me to enjoy gravy.
Why are you binding yourself? Why must you conform?
Not. I'm obeying the food law.
No. The reason why from the beginning of...
I'm obeying my proud food masters.
No. From the beginning of human society, one of the first things we did is figure out ways to overcome nature. If we let nature, push us around... Mm-hmm. We've undone hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution. And frankly, I have too much respect for all of those that have fought and died before now to give me central air.
Okay, here's what I'd like you to do, though. It's just a follow-up and a lead-in to our next discussion topic.
Okay.
I'd like you to post this on Facebook. When is it too cold, too warm for gravy?
Yeah. That's good. All right.
Much in the similar vein of our next story about sushi.
Yeah.
In proper, this is, it's similar but different,
I'm really digging your comparison of Malcolm X with me. I'm feeling, I need new glasses anyway, so I might get like the horn rims.
You're definitely not Martin Luther King.
No. Although apparently he got some tail, so maybe that's not.
Wow.
Necessarily
found the name of this week's show. Martin Luther King got some tail. We're gonna get sued.
Probably. Well, okay, let's talk about the sushi thing. So right. I posted this on Facebook today.
I did not read it
because you don't have Facebook.
Right.
Because you hate people. Although don't get me started on Google Plus. This is an article on CNN Go, which I knew nothing about before now. And I have to sneeze again. But what it was a double Michelin star. Excuse me. Double Michelin star chef, native Japanese. I forget where he worked or what his name was. It's all on Facebook.
You have to tell him.
It's so.
And the article was about how to eat sushi.
Right.
And he had a couple kind of bullet points that he was hitting. The first is eat it with your hands, not with chopsticks.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can agree with that. It is finger food.
I'm fine with that.
There are some ones that are just physically impossible to eat with chopsticks.
Most nigiri, I would say, is a little tricky.
I agree. Some are just so wide that it's like, why even try?
Yeah. So I'm okay with that. Okay. Second bit was it had to do with the soy sauce.
Right.
First off, he said wasabi, not to be mixed with soy sauce.
Okay. Was there reasoning?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But his second bit, his second bit, we are recording this outside, as we probably should have mentioned, in case you didn't figure it out before.
We also didn't mention what we're drinking, but we can go back.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that. Frankly, it's not terribly remarkable, so whatever. His second bit was you always dip with nigiri, which again is the fish on top of rice, as opposed to a roll.
Right.
Okay. With nigiri, you always dip fish first.
Right.
Which I didn't know, but makes sense. And their thinking was, again...
Mosquito right there. On your thumb.
Oh, what's gone now?
Just wanted to get it before I get bit.
No, that's fine. Which I didn't know. And again, I'm all for this in that if you dip rice first, the rice absorbs too much of the soy sauce and it disintegrates.
Right.
Didn't know that. I like it. There's a structural reasoning for it.
Right. You approve of this.
Yes, that is fine. I forget what the third bit was. I think it had something to do with omakase, which is basically putting yourself in the hands of the chef.
Right.
And saying, whatever's good.
Which I completely agree with.
I am in favor of that as well.
Right. It's hard to find places around here.
That's another story.
But the issue I have, the issue I have is there is no wrong way to eat anything. With the possible exception of any sort of structural issues.
Okay.
Like, don't just bite right into a crab. Shell that first.
Exactly.
Like, there is logistical concerns
right.
there.
Right.
But beyond that, I say game on.
Now, I'm going to pose a question to you.
All right.
And it's more, we're going back to the environment question. Okay?
Which I clearly hate.
You are in Tokyo, Japan.
Yes.
You are eating in one of the finest sushi restaurants in Tokyo.
Yes.
The chef is picking out the menu for you. You have no say.
Yes.
You have the was it omakase?
Yeah, omakase.
You've granted omakase.
Okay.
Do you still abide by your way of eating said sushi? Be it mixing the wasabi or dipping rice first or whatever.
Well, the rice first, again, there's a logical,
right.
physical reason to not do that.
Right.
Okay. And I guess, like, I don't have a problem with these things that they laid out. Like for this particular article, it was more of the overall conversation.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily do that, but again, it's more. I want there to be a good reason
right.
for it. I don't want it to be just because that's the way it's done.
Right. If I'm eating omakase, and which I've done before,
yeah, so have
then
I'm
doing it the way that they want me to. That chef has taken the time to slice each fish and prepare it how he feels it is best prepared. And I will ask, you know, the chef, how would you eat the, you know, dip it in soy just as is, you know, as a plain Jane, whatever. If I'm going to the local sushi house, I'm eating it however the fuck I want to be honest. I mean, I want the wasabi sludge, essentially. You know, I want the wasabi
slurry.
Yeah. I want, you know, somewhat, you know, 2/3 soy sauce to 1/3 wasabi.
Yeah.
Because I like it spicy, and I know the quality of the sushi we're getting around here. Even the best sushi we get around here is still it's still not going to be up to snuff.
That was alright. I will give you that one.
It's just still not going to be up to snuff. What you might find in New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles or Boston for that matter.
I'm with you there. I'm with you. I think given the situation that you posited, I'm in Tokyo and,
right.
you know.
You're in the hands of the chef.
I'm in the hands of the chef. I will, if I will bring it up, I will say how should this be done. I will try that.
Right.
And then I will try not doing that. And I will make a scientific determination at that point, which I prefer. Okay. I don't like bowing to needless tradition. For here's a perfect example. Absinthe.
Right.
Okay. Absinthe has a very strict ritual.
Right.
I have no problem drinking absinthe right out of the bottle. Okay.
Kind of sick.
But.
That ain't right.
I will abide by the ritual because I enjoy the ritual. Okay.
Right.
The same goes for the gravy, you know, your graveyard. I don't have a problem with you only want, you know, needlessly restricting yourself.
Not needlessly, it's the law of physics.
Needlessly restricting yourself to the gravy season. Okay.
October to April.
Do not, you know, it's kind of the gay marriage argument. If you don't want to get gay married, that's fine.
She did.
If you don't want to have gravy in July, fine. But don't impinge on my ability to have gravy whenever the hell I feel.
I'm not saying you are.
Saying,
what I'm saying is that I feel it's wrong. I don't have to like it.
I'm not saying you do. But I'm just saying, to me, it seems like a needless restriction. It seems like a needless hang-up.
I wouldn't say that the sushi
I'm a combination between Malcolm X and Dan Savage.
You really are.
Of food. You know? We talked about this before.
You're the great mediator.
I'm just not bound by your human laws. We've talked about this before. I like cheddar cheese on a cinnamon raisin bagel.
That's really wrong.
I'm just saying, I'm not bound
by... That's not even a food law. That's food anarchy.
I am a food anarchist.
But even food anarchists are like, really?
No. I'm all in, baby.
I don't even know if I could pull the trigger on that, even in,
God. I'm telling you, man.
Cheddar cheese.
A good smoky cheddar with maybe a little bit of ham. On a cinnamon raisin bagel, on a sweet bagel. Oh my god!
It's the raisin thing. I like raisins, but it's just like
I like the sweet and the salt. It's all the sweet and salty.
And the cinnamon too.
I like
that's very overt. Okay, but I get where you're going. I'm starting
it's
to see.
It's all about contrast.
I'm starting to see because like at Easter, my mom makes like this raisin sauce that goes over the top of the ham that you can put with the ham.
Uh huh.
And it's sweet and. It's really sweet. I get that. I'm starting to see the cinnamon raisin. I don't know if I'm gonna spend the money on it. I'm probably not doing that. Not when there's like lox to be had.
Yeah, I love lox.
Right.
I'll have lox on a cinnamon raisin.
That's
bagel.
The way that bagels were meant to be.
I'm with you on that. I'm just saying, I don't restrict myself.
Just about there, guys, with a little bread to tide you over.
Thank you.
I'm kind of a pan foodie.
Pan foodie?
I'm not bound by restrictions.
Pan foodie.
I was trying to make a parallel to be like pansexual.
Okay.
But maybe pan Epicurean.
That's much.
That sounds way too fancy for what I am, though.
That I agree.
But
you're a panacopian.
Panacookin.
How good is that butter?
That's very good butter. So I guess we could talk about what we're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with the house made sangria,
right?
Which reminds me a lot of the El Maison house made sangria. In that it is okay.
Very tart.
I could almost go for more tartness. It seems a little watered down to me.
Really?
Yeah. This is also the guy that has been known to just take a pull, like when I'm cooking with it, I'll take a pull at the concentrated lime juice before I put it back in the
fridge.
You're
kind of wrong.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
You want to know the weird? You want to know the best sangria I've ever had?
Right.
Hooters.
If you say Olive Garden, I'm going to come over the table at you.
No, Olive Garden sangria. I don't know if I've ever had that. Yeah, the sangria at Hooters was remarkable, I must say.
I can just see you now. The fried pickles and sangria.
Okay, so the pork loin here?
Ah, sorry.
Kirby now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. You guys doing okay on sangria?
Yep.
Yes? So. Okay, enjoy.
Thank you.
Deep fried pickles and sangria? Oh, baby.
You're the picture of class.
That's right, baby. All right, what did we get? I'll let you. I'm going to finish my bread here.
Okay. You got the herb marinated pork loin served with gorgonzola and gnocchi. Sauteed spinach, and a cremini mushroom shallot demi-glace topped with red wine caramelized onions. It looks awesome.
It does.
I got the pan-seared corvina, which is a fish.
Is it a white fish?
It's a white fish.
Okay.
served with a roasted artichoke pimento risotto with grilled asparagus, which looks awesome. A creamy corn ginger sauce topped with a leek mint confit. And I kind of see that everything is
you got a lot going on there.
I do.
Mine's kind of a variation on meat and potatoes.
Now the this is a hot point for me. This is a little bit hard for me to make a choice between the two, because I'm not a big risotto guy, and I'm not a big gnocchi guy.
So which I don't get either, but
so I kind of took the lesser of two evils and went with the risotto. To me, risotto is kind of like overcooked rice, which is essentially kind of what it is.
I mean, yeah.
But it's just, to me, it's got a weird texture.
Okay, you're switching to Coke. I was talking about Coke.
This, however, is pretty awesome.
So you talked to her earlier.
This might have changed my outlook on risotto. That's really good.
Hmm.
Risotto is artichoke and pimento, which I'm guessing is pimento.
Yeah. Some sort of variation on that.
Very good. It's not mushy like I've experienced with most risottos, and I'm thinking that, you know, I've had that the risottos that I've had just weren't done properly.
Yeah.
And this is kind of sucking me back into that world,
mm-hmm.
which is good because it opens up a lot of doors, because there's always been that one or two things on a menu that I've been really interested in, but the side dish has always been risotto, and I've always been a little scared of it, just because I disliked it the few times that I had it.
Yep.
So.
So on my end, and notice I got gravy.
Everything tasting good?
Yes, very
good. Wonderful.
You can call it a
demi-glace.
You can call it a demi-glace, but that's fucking gravy right there.
That's demi-glace.
That is a weak-ass gravy, is what that
you
is.
Know, you know, gravy would incur a roux being tied into it.
True.
You, if anything,
it's a half-ass gravy.
It's a jus.
That's fine. No, that's fine. It's gravy-esque. It's in the gravyoid family.
I'll agree. It's in the gravy family, but it's more sauce than it is gravy.
Oh, I don't have to get worse.
Fair enough.
Holy
so,
crap.
Is it your golf
thing now? The pickled onions, is it pickled onions?
Yep.
Yeah. No, red wine caramelized onions. They're not quite pickled. But very good. Again, I'm liking that people are experimenting a little bit with onions, because I love onions. I put them on everything. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you can put onion and garlic on anything.
It will taste awesome.
It'll be awesome. Cinnamon raisin bagel? No. Actually, that's not kind of good. The spinach, I'm not a big fan of spinach. I've never been a big fan of it, and this is, unlike your polenta, this is not convincing me otherwise.
Okay. How about you're a big gnocchi guy, though.
I am.
Can I try, like, a half of a gnocchi?
Yeah, sure.
Just to see if we can change minds here.
Yeah.
Open eyes.
Here, fork.
Let's see if we can... I'm going to dip it in your demi-glace here.
My demi-glace. Does nothing for you?
Does nothing for me.
Well, fine. Fair enough. The pork is good. It's definitely something that you need to have with other stuff, because taken on its own, I mean, it's herbed well. Tastes like it's basically just a pretty simple basil, salt, pepper. You know, pretty simple. Maybe a little fennel, I'm not really sure. Taken on its own, it's kind of eh. You definitely gotta have it with stuff, but.
Would you like to try any of mine?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Unlike you, I do like risotto, so. That is very good risotto. So yeah, I'm digging this. The gnocchi, I think, is as someone that enjoys gnocchi, very good.
To me, it's like if you burn mashed potatoes, it's the stuff at the bottom of the pan.
But that's good. That shit's good.
I don't know. It just doesn't do anything.
To me, it occupies that same kind of culinary niche as mashed potatoes. It is that kind of creamy, not necessarily mind-blowing flavor, but it's all about the texture.
Yeah.
You know, and if any sort of good flavors come along the ride, then excellent. But
wow,
it's entirely a textural thing.
I am really digging this. The Corvair is cooked perfectly. It's got a very light sear on it. Pan sear. It's flaky and flavorful, but it still has that good texture. But by having the pan sear on it,
yep.
So it has a little bit of like, I don't want to call it a crunch, but yeah, a texture difference.
Mm-hmm.
We're opening mines here. Seriously,
that is a sizable chunk of asparagus, by the way.
Yeah. I'm like Mongolian asparagus. But it's still in season, at least for another like 2 weeks or so. So
okay.
It's still very fresh.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, yeah, you're not a big asparagus guy.
No, not really.
It's got excellent, excellent texture for this late in the season. Because it is kind of a wintry vegetable, and being at almost mid-July, it's hard for it to hang on this long, but it's still in excellent shape. Oh. Mm. Okay.
That was very tasty.
You destroyed that.
I was hungry.
Apparently you were.
Well,
a lot of men behind, though.
I got to work late today, and it screwed up my breakfast schedule.
Yeah.
Which in turn screwed up my lunch schedule.
Yeah.
So it's just, my whole day has been screwy. But I do want to talk about something that I watched last night. I've got the Netflix.
Yep.
And I've been watching a lot of documentaries, particularly food documentaries, weirdly enough. And I watched like the King of Pastry not too long ago. I think that's now off instant streaming.
Okay.
But it's about the big French pastry competition every year. And that was actually pretty interesting. Kind of follows a couple people that are trying to get their, I don't even remember what the hell it was, like a black sash or something, I don't know. Regardless, if you like food documentaries, Netflix is full of them. It's kind of amazing. I mean, as soon as you watch one, you get recommended all of them. So, you're good there. The one I watched last night was, the one I watched last night was Beer Wars, which is a documentary.
Not to be confused with the Broken Lizard. Was it? It's not Beer League. What the hell is that?
I don't remember.
It's funny as hell.
Hmm.
Anyway.
No, Beer League was the movie with Artie Lang.
That's right.
But no, Beer Wars, it's a documentary. It's made by a woman whose name is escaping me right now. But she is the former... she's a former executive from Mike's Hard Lemonade, believe it or not.
Okay.
And she left the business and became basically a filmmaker. And what it does... It's actually pretty interesting because it was made a few years ago. And it tracks the kind of the early days of the kind of craft beer renaissance that was going on. And it does a really good job. I think it's a good, if you're into craft beer and you're into kind of the whole beer scene, it's a good one to watch because it lays down kind of the history of beer distribution in the U.S. It goes into great detail about like the three-tier system, which we hear a lot about anytime, you know, going back to the Wisconsin potential law changes.
Talks a lot. It was something we discussed on Craft Brew Week.
Yep. And it goes into a lot of details of that, and it goes into a lot of how the big brewers, in particular Anheuser-Busch, are influencing America both through marketing and through lobbying, and how that's affecting smaller brewery and things like that. And it follows two small brewers, Dan somebody from Dogfish Head, and also a I'm apparently terrible at names today. Yeah, that's what it is. And a woman who is doing a caffeinated beer called Moonshot, which you're not going to get around here. And it's actually, they picked two very good ones because at the time, that was right when Dogfish Head was really kind of starting to take off as kind of the big craft brew. And so you see them kind of as they're growing and kind of what that entails, as well as this woman who's doing this caffeinated beer and just watching her just kind of struggle to get any sort of traction with that, and talking about how that influences it. It's a really good documentary, and it does a really good job of laying out here's the environment in which these small brewers are trying to get into, and it goes into great lengths about how Anheuser-Busch is really kind of screwing over a lot of people.
Right.
Which we've known for a while. But one thing I didn't realize is how many, and this was before the whole InBev merger.
Right.
And I didn't realize exactly how many brands were owned by Anheuser-Busch. Like Bass. Like, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. It's the stuff that... I think there was a period, you know, of... I want to say mid-90s, but... There was a period there where beers like Bass really, really popular. It was kind of that Guinness boom. Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly it was cool to drink Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Guinness rub, we might call it. You know, beers that were a little bit darker than
yep.
Miller Lite, your Bud Light, your Budweiser, whatever. And I get that. Looking at how many of those beers were owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, it's insane. I mean, how much of a monopoly they had on the market. That still do, for that matter.
Like, for example, I didn't know Rolling Rock was owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Excuse me, yes.
And that they don't actually make Rolling Rock in Pennsylvania anymore.
No.
It blew my mind. Granted, I have not been paying attention, so... You know,
the Green Goblin.
You can describe that to whatever... But it's worth checking out. It's in... I don't want to give too much away. I will say that the guy from Dogfish Head, you look at him, like, this is not a guy that goes to archaeological digs to learn ancient Egyptian beer recipes.
Okay. What does
dude,
he do?
He just totally looks like this total like frat boy Jersey Shore douchebag.
Okay.
But it's like...
Then he starts talking and you're like, oh.
No, when he starts talking, he still sounds like a Jersey douchebag, yeah, but he knows his stuff.
Okay.
And he's clearly extremely interested in it.
It's intelligent and you know, comprehensive to what he's discussing.
Yeah, like he knows his stuff and he's really a hardcore guy.
Right.
But it's just like, you look at the guy and it's like, really? That guy? But it's worth checking out. It is available on instant streaming until August 1st.
That's when they stop the... They also are separating out your service now.
Well, yeah, but this is separate to that. It was just that's when it's expiring.
Okay.
But it's worth checking out. It's called Beer Wars. It's really... I think it's a really well-done documentary as a start. Because it gets people interested. And honestly, I think it's less good for the people like that may listen to this show and are already kind of, you know, hip to craft beer and and know about
it. We're hip to craft beer.
We're kind of. We're there. We're like level one. I would say.
Like a level one elf or something.
Don't pretend you know anything
I
about
don't know, I don't.
Don't think you know anything about my people.
Sorry. Didn't mean to insult.
You should. You should feel terrible.
I do.
It's good. It's good for people that have a vague interest but don't know anything about it. Like, right. It's a great primer into this is what craft beer is. This is what they're trying to do. This is why your Miller Lights and that are why they are, how they are. And
gentlemen, did you guys both want to do the key lime?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So I recommend it. I would say it is enjoyable. It's
Now, did you, kind of sticking with the food movie realm, but not necessarily documentary, did you ever see Bottle Shock?
No, I did not.
With Chris Pine and...
Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman.
No, I did not.
Alan Rickman is a smarmy best.
That's the only speed of Alan Rickman.
I love everything he does.
He was the second best part of Robin Hood Men, Prince of Thieves.
That's right. That's right. He was the best part of Die Hard. Yes.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yes,
yeah.
Hans Gruber. At least.
See, the first one or the second one?
First one. How dare you, sir?
No, who's the bad guy?
You commie
bastard. The bad guy in the second one was like a Alan Rickman impersonator then.
No, Alan Rickman, I don't even count the second one. And I don't count the fourth one either. Because he had Alan Rickman and then he had Jeremy Irons as the one in the third one who played his brother.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. This is with Samuel L. Jackson.
That's the third one. Okay. That's the third one.
That was enjoyable.
You had Hans Gruber, and I don't remember the Jeremy Irons guy's name.
Horst. Horst Gruber.
Alan Rippen. Metatron.
He's the Metatron.
Oh, my
excellent.
God. I literally, if I was ever to meet him, you know what the first thing I'd have him do? I'd have him leave my voicemail message.
Have you ever heard... I think it was Family Guy.
Yeah.
But it was Alan Rickman leaving a message to himself. And it's just like him like saying, "Don't forget the oranges" or something. Like, it's just really mundane crap. It was actually really enjoyable. I saw a clip of that. I don't remember why.
He's got good voice. He's just got. If I could steal anybody's voice, it'd be his.
Yeah.
He makes Harry Potter watchable. What do you think about that?
There's more than that makes that watchable.
I don't know. I tried.
What's her face? Actually, most of the women in that, most of the young women in that are pretty fetching.
That's only your pedophilia coming up your front.
It's not pedophilia. It's a phoebophilia. It's different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. How can I get that confused? Apologize.
It's a subtle distinction.
So are you going to the Harry Potter? No.
No, I've seen the first two, no, first three or four, I don't remember. Seen a bunch.
Right.
But I haven't seen any since the first Gary Oldman one. I think that was the last one I saw.
Which would have been like 2004, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I'm sure we'll see them at some point.
That's kind of what I'm working up to. Like, I've seen the first one. I can't even imagine. Like, there's a guy who literally, today's Tuesday, we're recording on Tuesday this week. Today was his last day at work because he's going to a marathon of all eight movies.
Yeah.
What the hell? I can't commit to that. That's a lot.
Okay, what if they do the same thing with, like, Star Wars?
That's different. That's six movies. That's 6 hours less. 6 hours less. That, not only that, the Harry Potter movies, by and large, are much longer than the Star Wars movies are.
That's true.
Much larger.
That's true.
A lot longer.
Yeah.
And much harder to follow.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making up names and stuff as they go. I literally saw...
Oh, and Star Wars doesn't do that?
Well, okay, case in point. I was watching one of the Harry Potter movies this weekend, flipping through the channels, and literally one of the teachers at Hogwarts cast a spell and said lemon sorbet. That was the spell. I'm not even kidding you. I know for a fact that she said lemon sorbet. And that was the spell that she cast. They just...
I'm not seeing...
What are you hungry for? I would like nigiri sushi. That's my spell. That's how they come up with it.
I think you're wrong, but I don't feel like arguing with you.
You should. I kind of want you to argue with
me. I have no great investment in Harry Potter, so I have no sense of fire
right.
to argue about it. So. Yeah, I just can't
commit to that. It's just that's a lot.
See, I have almost the exact same problem with Star Wars. How many characters in Star Wars are never named, but everyone knows their name?
That's because there's a lexicon.
But this was pre-lexicon.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. I think that it's... I think... See, to me, the two trilogies are two separate entities upon themselves. I can watch the first trilogy.
Both trilogies are equally guilty of this, though.
I agree. But I think...
So you're trying to distract from the point.
I think episodes 4 through 6 are just more watchable. And easier to sit through.
Sure.
Like, the first three, if somebody said to me, hey, we're going to spend a weekend, that's what we're going to do. We're going to watch episodes 1 through 3. I'd be like... I gotta wash my hair. I got laundry to do. It's a tougher sell. 18 hours of Harry Potter? Oh my god.
See, that almost makes a little more sense to me than people that are watching the re-release of the extended edition of Lord of the Rings.
Oh my god. That's insane. That's insane. Those movies just can't die.
No.
What is Return of the King when they show it on like TNT? It's like 8 hours. We're going to start it at about 4 in the afternoon. It's going to get over at 11.
Well, you got commercials. That doesn't help.
Presented with limited commercial interruptions.
That's with limited commercials.
Oh my god.
But commercials nonetheless.
It's like, how long does it take to get to Mordor? Granted, one does not simply walk into Mordor. Yeah, I worked that in.
You were never allowed to call me a dork ever.
I know. What's
wrong with you?
So should we do a little spoiler alert and just say what we're at?
Yeah, we can wrap it up. We're over an hour at this point. We did get the key lime pie.
Yeah.
Which, by all accounts, will probably be fantastic.
Well, it's key lime pie. It's like sex. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Unless it's with you. So that's the problem I'm facing.
Then it just goes on and on and on.
And you're bored from like the first second.
And it's terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like the backseat of a Volkswagen.
How many Kevin Smith references can we make in one show?
I'm not done yet.
You're at two.
You're not anywhere near your wrap up yet.
You're at two. We still have Clerks.
Yeah. We did Dogma.
Chasing Amy.
Yep.
And Jersey Girl.
We've done them all. The only thing we haven't done is...
We haven't been Chasing Amy, Clerks, or Jersey Girl. You're only at 40%. But I'm not going to give you the opportunity.
Working finger cuffs on them.
No, don't do that. Anyway, Restaurant Week is going, this entire week is going to July 15th.
Here you go, guys.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.
Restaurant Week is going until July 15th. There's a link. There'll be a link in the show notes, but there's also one in our Facebook as well.
And we did get a key lime pie. How is it?
It's interesting. Maybe I just got too much caramel. But honestly, it's key lime pie. You can't really go too wrong.
Again, even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a Kevin Smith reference.
No.
I
was going to watch the
store. Like, it's just stuff that people
are. It's pretty much the bomb.
It's pretty fantastic.
Like Ben Affleck in The Phantoms.
It's impressive.
I did it. Thank you. I had to work for that one.
A little bit.
Couldn't figure out a way to work in a cock knocker.
I can just call you on.
That's true.
So, again, Restaurant Week going July 10th through July 15th. There's links to all of the participating restaurants. There's a fair amount. Now, I would say a fair amount in the suburbs, which I think is, like, a lot of the new ones are in the burbs.
It's rocking the suburbs.
Yep. Yeah, we're checking out. It's pretty much, it's the average is about $10 for lunches. Well, the places that do lunches, $10 to $15. And then $20 to $30 normally for dinners.
I don't think there's anything breaking 30.
Nothing breaking 30. There's some that even go down to 15 for dinner.
Yep.
So it's pretty affordable. You get a good value for your food. You get to try new places. It is a fixed menu, but if you go to the MSP Mag website, they show the menu, so you'll know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to go to a place and be like, oh, I don't like that, or I'm allergic to that.
Right.
Check out the places. And then with Cafe Enya, I like it. I would like to try more.
Right.
I don't know if this particular setup, like this fixed menu that they gave us, is a good showing. Or, you know, I don't think it adequately kind of describes the breadth at which they're doing.
I agree. I've eaten here before.
Mm-hmm.
The portions are much larger. Much, much larger when you eat off the regular menu.
Yep.
This was kind of like a sampling menu.
Yep.
Which was good.
It was very good.
I have no complaints from front to back on anything that I had.
Nope.
Risotto, by and large, was probably the best thing I had.
Really?
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So, but just kind of know that going in, if you're planning on hitting up on the restaurant week places, that in some cases the portions might be smaller. So it's just a word to the wise.
Yeah, but I think I would definitely be happy coming back out here.
Mm-hmm. Anything else I can bring for you guys?
No, I think we're good.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be back for that in a little bit.
Yeah, I think I'll definitely come back here. I gotta say, in between this and its sister restaurant, El Maison, I think I would prefer El Maison a little more. Mostly because I like more authentic when it comes to Latin food.
Right. I think the flavors are much more aggressive there.
Yeah.
I think, not saying my, I have to say this, my food is excellent.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think I like something a little bit more traditional.
Yeah.
Something with a little bit more traditional flair.
That is true. We should say, if we can plug any restaurant on Restaurant Week,
right.
One of our very favorites, Samba,
yes.
Down at Hopkins, has got a really good deal.
Yes, hit up our guy.
Yeah, our buddy over at Samba. I forget what the deal is exactly, but I remember it was pretty good. But regardless, the food there is outstanding. But yeah, I would want to say also that, you know, we offered out earlier this week, we offered that, hey, we're going to do Restaurant Week. What do you want to do? We got a bunch of suggestions. I don't think we followed any of them. But
screw you guys.
Well, there was
our ball and going home.
There was other logistical concerns. But we're always taking restaurant recommendations. So if you go to a place, you like it, you think we should check it out, let us know. You can email us at wellfed@fancymansgangsters.com. Or you can always... email or Twitter us at twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg or Foursquare. Foursquare, which I already checked this into.
Thank you.
Foursquare.com/wellfedguide2life, as well as Facebook, as facebook.com/wellfedguidefpg. Or just do the various searches and all that stuff. And all that, there's links to all that on the website as well. So, am I forgetting anything?
You got everything,
not that I can
sir.
Think of.
You're a bastion of social networking knowledge.
Apparently. We're not on Google Plus yet, so don't ask. But that is a discussion for another week, because it's a long show as it is.
Right.
But thank you guys again for listening, and have a great restaurant week.
Happy restaurant week.
And we'll see you next week.